Paris. Pylades looked out from the rail and watched the dolphins leaping over the bow waves. Through the mist of spray that rose from their arched backs, the warm light of the dying afternoon sun fanned into a shimmering rainbow, which Pylades chose to interpret as a promise of good fortune. If all went well, Orestes would soon be released from the bonds that had encircled him since the killing of Clytemnestra. Already the Furies, the Eumenides as they must now be called, were harrying and tormenting him with less shrill violence. They still chattered in his ears and caused him distress. The oracle had made clear that a second task must be completed before they would depart entirely and Orestes might be deemed truly purged before the world. "Apollo demands that Orestes go to the land of the Taurians," the Pythia had ordered when he and Pylades had returned to Delphi after the trial. "There he must find the wooden image of Artemis and bring it to Athens, where it must be set in a new temple raised to her glory." This strange decree is what now took them over the water. They are following the route of Jason and his Argonauts across the Euxine Sea, the Black Sea, as we would call it. Tourists stood in what we know as the Crimean Peninsula. Pylades knew that should they complete the task successfully, and there was no reason to suppose they could not, it would mark the end of their time together. Orestes would return to Mycenae to ascend his throne. Perhaps, after the sensation of the judgment at the Areopagus and the cleansing of Orestes, Menelaus and Helen would now permit his marriage to their daughter Hermione. Pylades, meanwhile, his duty was to return to Phocis, where King Strophius was waiting to spend a year educating him in matters of statecraft, before abdicating in his favour. Pylades would need to marry also. Orestes often teased him that Electra liked his looks and enjoyed his company. Well, perhaps.
"Land! Land ahead!"
Pylades saw no land. However, he trusted the eyesight of the captain of the 50-man Pentaconter that had transported them so swiftly from Piraeus, so he looked again. Orestes came up to join him. "So, what's the plan?" "If you squint your eyes, you can just make out lights twinkling on the horizon. Yes?"
"Aye, Captain Seal."
"Oh, hush. By the time we get close, it will be pitch dark. I think we should find a small inlet where we can hide the ship and go secretly by night to the temple where the statue stands. We should be back out to sea with the thing safely stowed aboard before first light."
"Hmm. Just the two of us?"
"Why not?
Do we know how big this image of Artemis is? We'll feel pretty silly if it's a colossus that would take half a ship's complement to carry."
"The oracle would have told us if that were the case. It'll be portable. The main thing is that we have to be so damn careful. It's well known that the Taurian king Thoas and the priestess of the Temple of Artemis hate Hellenes like us. If they find a Greek anywhere in their kingdom, they bring them to the temple, where she sacrifices them. No exceptions." As they neared the coastline, they arranged with the ship's captain a system of signalling with torches from the shore, one sign to indicate that they were ready to be picked up, another that there was danger, a third that the ship should leave without them, and a fourth that the crew would be welcomed and could safely disembark. Every contingency Pylades considered plausible was accounted for. Trekking from the cave towards the capital was no easy matter. It was fortunate that the city was on a hill. Its lights offered an amenable beacon, but the country they had to cross to reach it was difficult. They laboured over rocks, streams, and boggy marshes.
"Hey, Pylades,
I wonder if they have wolves here, said Orestes.
No!
A strangely accented voice boomed out.
But they have sheep, and sheep have shepherds. Catch 'em, boys! Run, seal, run!
They stood no chance, of course, and were caught and captured within moments. Ropes were tied around them, and soon they were being roughly pulled towards the very place they had been aiming for, the Temple of Artemis. The leader of the shepherds was happy to talk.
Bad luck on you too, but our King Thoas, he pays big money for Hellenes like you, and we're poor men with large families. They give you a good meal and the best wine before you are laid on the slab. That's a cheering thought, at least.
It wasn't, but Pylades felt it would be impolite to say so. They tripped and bumped along stony paths for 2 hours before the climb to the temple began. As they neared it, the shepherds banged their staffs together and let up a great hullabaloo. In answer, the wooden gates of the temple opened with a creak and a groan. 2 sleepy guards emerged. Pylades and Orestes were thrown into a stone cell. The clink of gold coins came to their ears. Before long, they heard the shepherds singing their way back to the countryside. In the morning, the captain of the guard dragged the 2 young men to the central chamber of the temple, threw them onto the ground, and told them to await the priestess. Pylades looked up to the altar and nudged Orestes, who followed his glance to a carved image of Artemis on the stone table. It was barely a hand's breadth high. They giggled.
Silence!
The captain of the guard kicked Orestes hard in the side.
This is holy ground!
Indeed it is, came a commanding female voice. And who have we here polluting it?
2 Hellenes, your graciousness. Shepherds found them in the hills, making their way here. They heard one of them call out to the other with the name Pylades, and maybe Seal.
Seal?
Pretty sure that's what it was, my lady.
Which one of you is Pylades, and which one Seal? You may look at us. They looked. The priestess was tall, regally beautiful, and supremely self-composed. She reminded Pylades of, he could not quite say what or whom, but the association made his heart beat faster.
I am Pylades, ma'am.
A good name. Gatekeeper, no?
Your Greek is perfect, lady.
Which is indeed what Pylades means. Pylons were gateways to Egyptian temples, for example. The tall, tapering, chamfered columns that were part of those gateways took on the meaning themselves, and we ended up with the electrical pylon in the 20th century. It is the language I love. So you, she turned to Orestes, you must be Seal.
No, said Orestes. Pylades is Seal too. It's complicated.
She looked at them. Such fine-looking young men. It will tear at my heart to sacrifice you.
Perhaps you should spare yourself that agony, said Orestes. We won't mind. We'll just be on our way.
Back to Greece?
Back to Greece.
Tell me, no news reaches us here. The war is over, that much I know. But what of Helen and Menelaus?
Back in Sparta.
Achilles?
He died. Paris shot a poison arrow into his heel.
Odysseus?
Lost at sea, they say.
Ha! That devious bastard deserves no less. And what of Agamemnon?
The king of men is dead also, said Orestes. He was murdered by his wife Clytemnestra and her lover Aegisthus. She rocked for a second and put a hand to the altar to steady herself.
He had children, I believe.
They live. Two daughters, Electra and Chrysothemis. There was a third, the eldest, Iphigenia, but she died.
Was there not a son?
Orestes. He is alive. Fully alive. Orestes derives from Oros, meaning mountain, as in the mountain nymph, the Oread. The name Orestes can mean one from the mountains, or that very Tennessee or West Virginian kind of individual, mountain man. Iphigenia derives from Iphios, meaning strong, stout or vigorous, and Genia, meaning birth or origin. So strongly born is perhaps the best translation. The priestess closed her eyes for a moment.
It would be a pity to sacrifice you both. Here is what I will do. I have a note I wish to write. If one of you will take it to Mycenae and deliver it, he will live. I shall sacrifice the one left behind.
Pylades will take the note, said Orestes at once.
No, he will not, said Pylades. He most certainly will not.
Yes, he will.
Orestes glared at Pylades. I absolutely insist.
Well, well, said the priestess, amused. I see that you are more than friends. Wait a while, and I shall compose the letter.
When she was gone, Pylades turned furiously to Orestes.
You must be the one to go.
No, said Orestes. I was compelled to come here.
You were not. I am the one who aroused the Furies. I am the one who killed... who did what he did. I will not allow you to stay. You are going, Seal. Let me hear you say it.
Pylades submitted. I am the one who is going. The priestess returned, a roll of parchment in her hand.
Have you settled on which of you will deliver this message?
He will, said Orestes, jerking a thumb in Pylades' direction.
It seems it will indeed be me, said Pylades. You promise, in the presence of the goddess, here in this hallowed place, to deliver the message? Pylades raised his hand. By the silver bow of Artemis herself, so I swear. Only its loss by shipwreck or piracy will keep me from doing so.
Yes, that is well said. We cannot risk its loss at sea.
The priestess frowned and considered.
Very well, here is the solution. You must learn the letter's contents.
If it is lost, you will still be able to repeat it.
It is for Orestes, son of Agamemnon. Do you think you can memorize it?
Astonished and bewildered, but keeping his countenance, Pylades bowed.
I believe so, madam. Very well, I shall read it to you.
She unrolled the parchment. She that was sacrificed in Aulis sends this message.
Her family may believe her dead, but Iphigenia is still alive. Fetch me back to Mycenae, Orestes, my brother, before I die. Rescue me from this barbarian land. Free me from the murderous priesthood that forces me to put innocent strangers to death. Unless you do so, Orestes, my existence will be a stain and a curse upon our house.
She broke off.
What is it?
Orestes had leapt to his feet. He was staring at the priestess in stunned incredulity.
Apollo! Oh, Apollo! This is why you sent me here.
He turned to her, his face shining.
Iphigenia! Sister! How can you be alive? Sister? I am the brother you call upon. I am Orestes.
Her face darkened.
You'd trick me, would you? No trick, sister, I swear.
You would say anything to save your skin. Prove you are Orestes.
Prove that I'm your brother? How could I do that?
Ha! I thought not.
No, wait. Orestes was thinking fast. When you were, 10 years old, maybe 11, you embroidered the scene of the quarrel between our grandfather Atreus and great-uncle Thyestes. It hangs in the Megaron, above the shrine to Hestia. And once you showed me a secret. In your chamber, in a concealed cupboard, you kept a spear. The very spear that our ancestor Pelops used to kill Oenomaus. I pushed the tip of it into the palm of my hand and pretended it had drawn blood. You screamed, remember?
Orestes! Oh, my brother!
The screams, the tears, the laughter, the exclaiming, the head shaking, the wondering. But Iphigenia, what I don't understand, said Orestes, is how you can be alive. The whole Greek army saw Calchas plunge a knife into you on the sacrificial stone in Aulis. So they all believed, but Artemis substituted a deer at the last minute and swept me away here to the land of the Taurians. And oh, how I hate being trapped in this place, brother! At first I was so angry with our father for what he did, or thought he did, that the idea of killing Danaans, Achaeans, Argives, Hellenes satisfied my lust for revenge, but I sickened of it soon enough. King Thoas, though, his hatred of the Greeks seems to grow every year. But now tell me what I don't understand. If you didn't know that I was living here, what in the name of all that is sacred brought you to this awful place? I consulted the oracle at Delphi. Apollo sent me here. Orestes pointed to the altar, to take that image of his twin Artemis to Athens. If I do that, I will be released from my punishment. You see, I'm being pursued by the Erinyes, and... Why? What have you done? It was hard for Orestes to tell the story of how he had killed Clytemnestra. Iphigenia's initial response was horror and fury. Surely their mother had been right to kill Agamemnon after what he had done to Iphigenia. Orestes and Pylades pleaded for understanding. In the end, she came round to some sort of accommodation.
It is our family.
It is the curse, she said. And perhaps this final act of appeasement will see an end to it all.
So the oracle promised, said Pylades.
Now listen. Orestes went to the altar and picked up the image of Artemis. Our ship is anchored off the bay below the red cliffs. This is what I suggest. A fanfare of trumpets broke in on them. Iphigenia quickly snatched the idol from her brother. King Thoas, a large, brutish-looking man with a thick beard, entered, rubbing his hands.
Well, well, I was told we had a couple of Hellenes to deliver to the goddess. And look at them! So young, clean, so innocent-looking, little Greek babies. How Artemis will relish their blood. Have you begun the first rites, Iphigenia?
No, my lord, for in truth I am troubled.
Iphigenia revolved the figurine in her hands. Troubled?
When these two came here into the holy shrine, this statue turned and shut its eyes.
It did what?
Yes, my lord. It turned round to face the other way, and when I picked it up to look more closely, I saw that its eyes had closed.
Well, they're open now.
Yes, my lord, but I know what such a manifestation means.
What does it mean?
It means, said Iphigenia, that these two have some blood crime on their hands. I cannot sacrifice them until they have been purified, and this holy statue too, in the waters of the sea.
Well, very well, let's go and do that then.
Great King, I will do that, but you must remain here. The temple itself needs to be cleansed. You may achieve this with torches. The flames will purify the air. My priests will instruct you in the manner of it.
Well, why can't they do it themselves?
They could.
Excellent.
But if you were to do so, it would glorify you in the eyes of the goddess. She would bestow great benefits upon you, sire.
Right. So, off you go then. Hurry.
Iphigenia chose the prisoner's escort very carefully. It was only towards the end of the day that Thoas finished the fumigating with sulphurous torches, a painstaking and malodorous process, and re-sanctified the temple. It occurred to him that Iphigenia and her sacrificial victims had been away a long time. He and his guards hurried to the bay over which the red cliffs loomed.
This is where she bathed them?
I believe so, my king.
Then where the hell are they now?
The captain of the guard looked out to sea. A single penteconter at full sail was already halfway to the horizon. Even at that distance, the captain could see the diamond sparkle in the water as 50 oars dipped and pulled, dipped and pulled. Yes, Orestes did marry Helen and Menelaus's daughter Hermione. In time, Menelaus, as his father-in-law Tyndareus had done before him, yielded the throne to the younger generation. Orestes and Hermione ruled as king and queen of Mycenae and Sparta. Yes, Pylades did marry Electra. The couple reigned in Phocis. They named their son after the old king, Strophius. It all seemed to tie itself up into a neat and pretty happily ever after bow. The curse was finally lifted. The house of Atreus had suffered enough.